This is Brother Gino. Last time we were together on the pastor's study, we began to look at the great doctrine of the Bible, baptism. And we're going to finish that up today. Before I begin, though, I want to make some comments. Because there's a lot of, wrong doctrine going around, false doctrine. You'll run into different groups that'll teach that water baptism is a necessary part of your salvation. And of course, last time we saw that that was an incorrect teaching. In fact, a lot of heresy today is taking a Bible truth and misplacing it. In other words, taking a truth that applied, amen, at a different time, amen, that doesn't apply, say, to the church age or the age of grace today. And that's how all these heresies, all these cults are based upon. Taking a Bible truth, something that's true, yes, but not for you and I today. It doesn't apply. It might have applied to, the Jew under the Old Testament law, amen, before the age of grace, so forth and so on. But I want to give you a good verse. If you run into someone that says that water baptism is necessary for salvation, notice what the Apostle Paul had to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. See? He said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, if baptism was in fact part of an individual's salvation in the age of grace that we live in, the church age, and of course Paul was the apostle called out to the Gentile, then he wouldn't be making this statement. He's saying Christ didn't send him to baptize, although he did baptize people after they were saved, amen. But he said, no, he sent me to preach the gospel, amen. That's one thing I wanted to show you. The other thing is, we have to be careful. Amen. We saw last time, I made the comment, there are different baptisms in the Word of God. But there's one baptism that's very important. That's spirit baptism. That's when the believer in the age of grace, today, the church age, believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw by looking at the words of God, looking at verse after verse, it showed when a person believes on Christ, the Holy Spirit baptizes that individual into the body of Christ. An individual receives the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, at salvation, the moment, the instant they believe on Christ. And that spirit baptism is the one that saves, baptizing one into the body of Christ, amen. And then we also, like I said, we have to be careful wherever we see baptism, the word baptism, that we don't read water into it every time, amen. Like a lot of even Baptists do, read water every time they see a baptism, especially in Romans chapter 6, and we'll be looking at some verses there in Romans 6 today. They read water baptism. No, it's again speaking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, amen, when a believer believes on Christ. Although we said earlier, last time, that the water baptism after one is saved pictures that spirit baptism, amen. Before I go any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll pick up our study on baptism. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, I ask you to open our eyes and show us today wonderful things out of thy law, out of thy word, Lord. Thank you for the privilege, amen, to come to you today, to worship thee, to open up thy word, to study your very words. And Father, I thank you for those that have taken the time to listen to the broadcast today. I pray you'd bless them in a special way. And Father, save the lost soul that may be listening today. In Jesus' name I ask, amen and amen. Now, last time, as we talked about baptism, we were talking how should a person be baptized. Once a person's saved, we saw that the mode of baptism is total immersion. It's in water, much water, and then you're going down into the water. So we saw three things: water, much water, going down into the water. The fourth thing is there's a burial. Burial in water. That's why you've put down, when a believer is baptized, they're put down under the water. It's a picture of burial. If you think about it, when they bury someone, amen, and I'm sure you've been to many of a funeral and seen a person buried in the casket, they're not, that casket or that individual isn't put up, standing up against a tree and they throw dirt on them. No, they bury them 6 feet under. Amen? So that's what that water baptism is a picture of, a burial, which is talked about in Romans chapter 6, if you'll turn there with me. Romans chapter 6. And again, this is talking about what has taken place in the believer spiritually, that water baptism pictures. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore we are buried, buried with Christ. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. So there's a burial. When you got saved, you were baptized unto death, or into death, Christ's death, buried with Christ. So water baptism pictures this burial that's taken place spiritually. Look at it in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 12. Again, buried with him. Him is Christ. Buried with him in baptism. So there's a, spiritually there was a burial that took place in each believer, in you and I. And water baptism is a picture of that, that burial. That's why in water baptism, you're totally immersed, you go down under the water. Amen? You're immersed. That's what the word baptized means, immersed. Totally immersed, not sprinkled or poured upon. Now, not only that, not only is there a burial, but there is also a resurrection that's taken place in each believer. And again, water baptism not only shows outwardly the burial, but also the resurrection. When you come up out of the water, that's a picture of the resurrection that's spiritually already taken place. And that pictures your physical resurrection someday. Amen? Again, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. We read in the first part, buried with him in baptism, wherein also, you're not just left down, praise God. You know, the preacher doesn't just put you under the water and hold you there until you drown, but amen. But buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen. You come up out of the water with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. So spiritually you've been resurrected from the dead. And when you come up out of the water, that's what that picture is, that spiritual resurrection and that future resurrection of your physical body. But again, here in these verses, it's not talking about water. It's talking about spiritually what's happened to you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And again, in Romans chapter 6. Again, these verses in Romans, don't read water into them. although your water baptism after you're saved pictures spiritually what's taking place in these verses. These verses in Romans and Colossians are speaking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, there's that burial, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. See? We've been raised spiritually. Amen. So we see then, scriptural baptism requires one, water, two, much water, three, going down into the water, four, burial in water, resurrection from the water. And we see the resurrection of the water pictured by water baptism, which is number six, the coming up out of the water, first in Acts chapter 8. Again, Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. They went down into the water. And look at also what it says. Acts chapter 8. Verse 39. And when they, that's Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and when they were come up out of the water, they went down and they came out. Amen? So, scriptural baptism. Water, much water, you go down into the water, you go under the water, you're buried in the water, there's a resurrection up out of the water, which is pictured of the coming up out of the water. We saw the Ethiopian eunuch came, and Philip came up out of the water. And then look at in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. See, things are not hard to understand if you'll just read what the Bible says. A lot of times, man, so-called Bible scholars, will change the Word of God so it'll match up with their teaching. But you know what? Man needs to line up with what God teaches in His Word and leave it the way it is. Mark chapter 1, verse 10. And this, of course, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's baptism at the hands of John the Baptist. And straightway coming up out of the water, describing Jesus, he went in the water and he's coming up out of the water. And he saw the heavens open, the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. So there's a coming up out of the water. Now, so again, how should a person be baptized? In water, much water, going down into the water, a burial in the water, resurrection from the water, a coming up out of the water. Now, the last thing we want to ask is, why should a person who has believed, repented, and been saved be baptized? Well, very simply, number one, God commands it. God commands it. Let's turn first to the book of Acts, chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 with me. And of course, this is the account of Cornelius. Amen. Who was a centurion of the Italian band, the Lord had sent Peter to preach the death, burial, and resurrection to he and his household, and they got saved. They believed as they were hearing the Word of God preached. And then we read in verse 47. Let's back up a little bit in verse 44 of Acts 10. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. So here's Cornelius and his household listening to the preaching of the Word of God, the death, burial, and resurrection by the Apostle Peter. And they believed. It fell on them. Amen. They get the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit because they believed the preaching of the Word. And they of the circumcision, talking about the Jews, which believed, So here are Jews that were there that believed, had believed on Christ, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they, the Jews, heard them, the Gentiles, Cornelius and his family, speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, before we go on, why did the Gentiles there speak in tongues? Because we know the sign gifts are no longer here today. Well, the reason they did was, is remember, the Jews require a sign. So those Gentiles were allowed to speak in tongues so the Jews would believe that these Gentiles got saved as well. Now, then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Verse 48 now, Acts 10. And he commanded them what? To be baptized in the name of the Lord. So God commands it. And then over in Matthew chapter 28, we see is often called the Great Commission, in verses 19 and 20. Go ye, Jesus says, therefore, go ye therefore and teach all nations, what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Christ commands us to go into all the world, teach all nations, and baptize. You see, baptism is an act of obedience. To fail to obey will only bring unhappiness and spiritual defeat. I'm going to make a general comment, and maybe some of you pastors listening there will agree with me. We've said that baptism is not essential for salvation. Amen. And that's true in this age of grace, this church age. But we see that it's a command of God to be baptized after you're saved. And I want to say this. I haven't really seen anybody who's been saved do much for God who have not submitted to believers' baptism. In fact, look at what I know. Look at James, the book of James, chapter 4, and verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and we know that being baptized after you're saved is to do good, and you should. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, James says to him it is sin. Amen. If you're listening today, you're a believer, you've believed on Christ, but have not submitted, amen, to believer's baptism, then you're in rebellion to God. He commands you, amen, to be baptized. Amen. Well, so God commands it. We're asking the question, why should a person who has believed, repented, and been saved be baptized? Number one, God commands it. And number two, baptism is to follow Bible examples of Jesus in most New Testament believers. Looking in Matthew chapter 3. Now, again, I stress, and we've seen that baptism is not essential for our salvation in the age of grace, but it has, I believe, some great importance. Because here we have the example in Matthew chapter 3 of Jesus being baptized. Amen. I know we didn't need to be saved, but I believe that he gives us the example, amen, to obey. You know, the master is submitting to baptism. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? John's saying, wait a minute. Jesus, you should be baptizing me, and not me baptizing you. And Jesus, in verse 15, answering, said unto him, suffer, allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. In other words, he baptized Jesus, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father was pleased, amen, in his dear Son, his only begotten Son, amen, submitting to water baptism here. Now, I'm not going to go to the verses, but another example is that Ethiopian eunuch that we've talked about in our study on baptism. He's a good example. Here he is, a Jewish proselyte. In other words, he was converted to Judaism, coming back from worship in Jerusalem, reading in the book of Isaiah about the crucifixion of Christ. The Holy Spirit of God sends Philip out there in the desert to meet up with that eunuch. He preaches unto him Jesus. He believes on Christ. And then he's baptized. And then, of course, we just read about Cornelius and his household. They were saved. They heard the word, the death, burial, and resurrection being preached by the Apostle Peter. We know the word says, for then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They heard the death, burial, and resurrection being preached. They believed what they heard. They received the Holy Spirit, amen. And then after that, they were baptized after they were saved. Amen. So, not only does God command it, but you're also following an example of Jesus and other New Testament believers. Amen. The third reason we should be baptized, why a person who has believed, repented, and been saved, be baptized, is baptism is a public confession of Christ, a profession before others that the believer has identified with Christ in his death, his burial, in his resurrection. Amen. Looking in Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10 with me. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when you're baptized, when you're totally immersed in water after salvation, you're making a public confession, a public testimony that you've done exactly what the Word of God has instructed you, that I just read here in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that you have confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Amen. And that you've believed in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Amen. In other words, you're making a public profession that you identify with Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. It also shows that we have put on the new man, that we have been made alive unto God. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. For he that is dead is free from sin. And that's the result of our old man has been crucified with Christ. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. My friends, if it has no more dominion over Christ, and you're a believer, it has no more dominion over you or me. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So, when you're baptized, when you're totally immersed in water after salvation, you're making a testimony, amen, that you put on the new man. You know, you've been born again. You're dead to sin. You've crucified the flesh. You've been buried with Christ. You're no longer a servant to sin. You're no longer a servant to unrighteousness. Amen. But you're a new creature in Christ. You've been made alive in God. Not only that, but when you're baptized, what it does, it declares your faith in the authority of the Word of God. Remember we read it in the Great Commission? Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. So what you're declaring is your faith in the authority of the Word of God, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And what does it show? It shows that you've put on the uniform of service. Looking in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 with me. In verse number 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen. You've put on Christ and you're not making provision for your sinful flesh. Amen. It shows that you've put on the uniform of service. You've put on Christ. And then there is no satisfied conscience without Bible baptism. There is no satisfied conscience without Bible baptism. Looking in 1 Peter with me, and we'll be through. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not in the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're obedient. Amen. It satisfies your obedience to Christ. There's no satisfied conscience without Bible baptism. Amen. That's what it's saying here in 1 Peter chapter 3. It's an answer to a good conscience to be baptized. Well, my friends, that's all the time we have on the Pastor Study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank you once again for joining me for the Pastor Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.